Hello, ladies. Do you think that you would really enjoy life if God treated you as you treat your children? They are learning by our lives, our encouragement, and our discipline of them, how to become members of God's family. It's my prayer, beloved ones, today, that they will not turn away from God because of our failure in our responsibilities toward them. As parents, we have a permanent pattern before us for our relationship with our children by taking special note of what God does for us as His children. Psalm 145 would be a good one for you to study, as well as many other passages. Note first what the Lord does for us, His children. Then think through on this thought. If God treats me, His child, this way, and He is my pattern, then how should I treat my children according to this psalm? Should we become a copy of God in dealing with our children, then they will become what we want them to be. Let me just give you a couple of ideas from this psalm so that you will know how to proceed. Look at verses 8 and 9 for a good view of our pattern. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious." Well, let me ask you today, were you gracious to your child when he asked why for the 10th time during the dinner conversation, which he'd already interrupted by spilling his milk into the centerpiece? The second phrase says he is full of compassion. Did you express a heart full of compassion the last time your child came to claim your attention with tears in his eyes and his hurt and his fear? Or did you just sort of eke out a little moment of compassion as you patted him with one hand while you continued to make out the grocery list with the other? Then it says he is slow to anger. Are your children well acquainted with your high-pitched, yelling voice and your angry words and the names that you call them when you have not been slow to anger? Look at verse 9. It says, "The Lord is good to all." Do you have a favorite child? And is that favoritism obvious to the other children in your disinterest and detachment from them? You see, it's imperative, ladies, that we look to God to supply our need of responding to our children in love as well as in discipline. Only He who is the pattern can change us into copies of Him. As parents, we accept the children we are to guide as gifts of God. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." And Deuteronomy 6:5 gives us the plan for guiding and teaching them as we should. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." And how is it that we're to teach them diligently the things of God? By talking to them when you are sitting in the house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you are lying down, and when you get up. Otherwise, it's a full-time job, isn't it? Proverbs 22:6 tells us that if we train a child properly, then God promises that when they get older, they're still going to hang in there. What's the object or the goal in raising our children? To become independent from us and dependent on the Lord. If this is accomplished, then the lifetime that we spent helping them toward that goal will certainly be worth it. 1 Samuel 3:12-13 is a very sad story. It tells a story about parents who were faulty parents, although they were professionally successful in the ministry. They were faulty parents, and they caused the household and the family to be destroyed. Another objective with our children is discipline. And the goal here is to see them pass from our parental control to being self-controlled, ultimately to being God-controlled. Children suffer from not having clear guidelines within which to operate, and we must help them hold to the family standards of behavior. And ladies, it's a very sad thing to think that if they do not learn it in the home, then they may learn it at school. If they do not learn it in the school, then it may be in the army. And if not in the army, then maybe at the police station. And if not at the police station, then they may have to learn it in the electric chair. Dr. Stuart E. Rosenberg, who is a rabbi in Toronto and the author of The Road to Confidence, is quoted, "The cult of the child has reached such proportions that in many ways our children are no longer children. They are willful dictators, pint-sized Caesars, little Napoleons who have become the important decision-makers of the family life." The secret of the disciplined child is the disciplined parent. May I say that again, ladies? The secret of the disciplined child is the disciplined parent. While the child is rebelling, don't lose your cool. Question them to see if their attitude is just against you. If so, change it. If not, stand firm. Ephesians 6, 1-4 says that we are not to provoke our children to wrath. Do you know how you do this? By either under-discipline or over-discipline. And it's very interesting that either under-discipline or over-discipline produces the same results. Doctors have two forms of medicine, preventative and corrective. The preventative medicine is much better than the corrective and is more effective. Though children need to know their parents are the authority in the home, they also need their friendship. How can we as parents increase this relationship? By giving them of our time and our undivided attention. For instance, letting a busy father be the answer man for 5 minutes a day with the children when they are not interrupted by his visitors or phone calls and when they may ask him any question they choose, from why is my tongue red when I drink Kool-Aid to where is safety. Our children love this time when Daddy says, "Hey, would you like me to be the answer man?" Another way to increase this relationship is by working together to solve problems as they reveal them so that they don't feel they would be criticized and nagged, but they know that they will have our support and our help. Another way is to show interest in our child's world of concern, whether it's cutting out a paper doll or picking up a new doghouse or doing something that shows an interest in their little world. Another step is to share something of yourself with them, the things that make you especially happy or sad. These and others that perhaps you've tried and shared will go a long way in building the friendship that children so need, just as we need the friendship God so longs for us to have with Him. I once heard a parent's prayer that included these thoughts, and certainly it's the prayer that I long to be mine as a parent, and let me just share it with you in closing. Oh, Father, help me to treat my children as you have treated me. Make me sensitive to their needs and frustrations. Help me to listen with attention, insight, and understanding to what they have to say. Help me to treat them as persons of your design and therefore of real worth. Help me to respect their times to talk without interrupting or contradicting them, their ideas, their need for freedom to make choices and to take responsibilities as they are able. Oh, give me the wisdom and understanding to teach my children as you have taught me and to love them as you have loved me. May the Lord richly bless you in your walk with Him. Goodbye, ladies.